Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with the stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their lives using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galordual, yoga teacher and wellness consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people who share their unique blueprints with the world. Today we are breaking new ground in Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers by recording remotely for the first time. And what a better way to kick off this episode than by inviting Rob Baines to join us. While many of the Ibiza community may be more familiar with Rob's successful entrepreneurial endeavors, Rob Baines is also the founder of Space Time, and today we are diving deep into the world of frequencies with him. It's a pleasure to have you with us, Rob. How are you?
Hello, Oyana, my beautiful lady. I am super good today.
So good to have you. I'd love to hear about the journey that led you to start Space Time. Could you walk us through the sequence of events in your life which inspired this venture?
Absolutely. So I started, I won't give you my whole life story, but more of the significant parts. So I was quite a party boy in my early 20s. I was also very ambitious. So I'm from Vancouver and I moved to London and became an investment banker. And that was one job. My other job was a party job. But that led me to, like it usually does, to a rock bottom in a sense. So then I realized, oh, I have a bit of an addiction thing going on here. And so I went into recovery at a very young age, at 25, 26. And for pretty well 3 decades, focused from the mind level on addiction and programs around that. And during that time, I always was like seeking something else besides understanding. And by the way, my addiction got sorted. I didn't disconnect, which I found out later on from these programs, addiction programs, but I did what I refer to as a workaround. So the more damaging addictions, such as alcohol and drugs, that was alleviated right away for me. But then that just got transferred into softer, more socially acceptable addictions. I only point that out because during this conversation, we'll probably touch on frequencies and really disconnecting versus a workaround. So I got relief from that. But then I always had this yearning inside, knowing that there must be something more out there because I wasn't complete. You know, I just transferred my addictions to something softer, but I wasn't whole. And at the same time, you know, like maybe 25 years into the program, I bought something in Ibiza and I was introduced to the amazing community in Ibiza. And I was introduced for the first time into what was it's called psychedelics, plant medicines. And now I'm just pointing this out because this is someone who had addiction programs. So obviously I was very aware of the flavor of what addiction is. And then I was introduced to psychedelics. I asked myself the question the very first time going to a ceremony is, well, why am I doing this? Is this to get a fix? Is this to escape reality? Or is this to improve my conscious contact with my higher self? And that was clearly the answer. And so I started on a really great, amazing, potent, intense journey of psychedelics. Going to visit the tribes, many ceremonies in Ibiza, all over the place, of all different plant medicines. I pretty well have done every plant medicine except for iboga. And during that time, great shifts, amazing insights. But I also felt that there was, again, I could do it. I could connect in a more constant way without anything. The thing for me, and anything I share is just my journey. I'm not saying this is the way it works. This is how it is. I'm speaking for the universe. I'm saying this is my specific journey, which we all get to have our own journeys. One thing I do know is that the universe loves diversity. So we all are completely unique, diverse individuals. So I felt that there must be a way to connect better, because what was happening also to me is that, yes, during the ceremony, the experience was amazing. It expansive. I went into different realities and dimensions. But then to integrate it into the life I was actually living in this physical form was not so easy. So I would find that I'd be flipping back and forth, tap dancing from one to the other. And I just knew that there must be a way that I can be more constant. And also, I did get that awareness that I am this all-powerful being, as we all are. So I thought, well, there must be a way that I can connect without anything, just myself. So then that led me into, oh, many doctrines such as breath work. I did, I became a breath work teacher and different things. And then I came across this man named Mass Sajati. Actually, someone shared his meditation with me. And I remember the very first time I was in Ibiza, and I was in one of the spare bedrooms, and I was listening to it. And for some reason, I just zoned out. And then at the second he stopped talking, I came back. And it wasn't like I fell asleep. I've never experienced it. I felt really grounded. What I understand now, it was actually the first time I ever was in my body. And that gave me enough encouragement to say, I'm gonna find out about this guy. What's he all about? And I did. I started listening to his meditations. And the more I did, and I studied with him for about 4 years remotely. And I just knew that I got to get to meet this guy, because I have not come across anyone, any shaman, guru, doctrine, dogma, anything that is so one disruptive to what the mass consciousness has to say, and that has been able, I've been able to shift. So very quickly, well, not very quickly, but after 4 or 5 years, I finally met him in person, and then I joined the company and really got close. And that's kind of how my life has always been. For some reason, when I identify something, I kind of go right there, and it's with intensity, just like with a plant medicine. And then I started the journey of frequencies, and that was just a game changer, which it still is today. We live in a dynamic universe. I'm a dynamic person, and so it's always shifting and always changing. And then I got to a point as with the work I do, you know, my job is to be out of job. That's the same for Mass. Mass really guided me to the extent and opened up realities for me and connections so that then I could be on my own, independent, and then put my own flavor on what I do. And that's when all the, if you like, the abilities, technologies, they come in and everything. And that's where I am today. So then a natural progression is to start to offer it to other people. And so I started with space-time, what that means for those who are not aware or who maybe don't have a lot of experience with frequency work. Space-time, what I do is actually more sub-quantum physics and spiritual. I'm not for or against any doctrine, any dogma out there. It's all good if it's used properly. So I'm more into sub-quantum physics, and how it is like, how do we render ourselves, create ourselves here in this 4D, in this density? How do we do it? Is it just fluke? Is it just luck? We all just have these lives that's, you know, it's a coincidence that we got it. Or is there actually, like the universe, there actually is a very, very intelligent system in place. And once we understand and learn through knowledge, inner knowledge, not information that we read about or hear about, but actually when we turn on that switch, that dialogue with our timeless self, we start to receive knowledge within, And so I kind of refer to myself, you know, I have no labels or anything like that, but I'm kind of like a psychonut, which is someone who does take plant medicines or doesn't have to be anything, can be on its own now. And I go to those realms just to study how the universe works, and then more specifically, how we work, how we create ourselves here. And that's what I kind of do. And so now I've started Space Time, as it is all about space. Where am I? Rendering on myself in my body and in the universe, the quadrants, and then time in the present moment. So though it's, you know, one of the things that I can do is I can take really dense, complex concepts, and I can bring them into a really easy, digestible format for people. So I really hit like, well, space-time is really, it's a nucleus of it all. So why not just come out and name what I'm doing from there? So that's, hence you got space-time.
Okay, so with the intention of having a common ground for everybody in this conversation, I would like to define certain concepts that you just named. For example, mm-hmm. How do you define frequencies?
Well, frequency, you know, we humans, we are so used to our five principal senses, which, you know, taste, touch, scent, sight, smell. And we really have this program in us. Everything's very intentional, by the way. But we have a program in us that if we can't see it or touch it or experience it through the five senses, there's doubt. And the universe works not from that dense level, because it's just one aspect. It's all about frequencies. Frequencies create. It's what I refer to as where I go as the precursor before we create here in density. It's frequencies. And we are able to edit those frequencies. We're able to edit our blueprint and direct what frequencies we are attracting in our life and what frequencies do we not want in our life. Does that answer your question?
Totally. I have another one. You mentioned previously about rendering ourselves in this space and time. What do you mean with rendering ourselves?
Okay, well, that can be a whole lecture. So I'll try and bring it down and make it very specific and sight. I'll give it a little like a mini course on metaphysics 101, if you like. So there is the speed of light. Speed of sound, right? You can't see it because it's vibrating so high, but it's clearly here. So how did we come and create ourselves in this density and everything around us? So, and anything I say, I don't really dumb it down, but I try and make it so that you can get a picture of it without a lot of background information. So say the creator, the one, is sitting there going like, well, I'm in my consciousness, like just like for us, we're in our consciousness. It's very difficult to see outside of that. So what the creator did, he said, oh, I'm gonna create the second dimension. And therefore it's a reflection. I can see outside of this consciousness. And we won't get into the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. But so how did creator do that? Well, if we go back to the frequencies and the vibration of sound and light is going so fast, you can't see it. So then what creator thought is like, oh, I know, I got to put in some filters. And again, I'm just making this into user-friendly language. I got to put in some filters to slow down the vibration. So then we're able to create density. So with us humans, that's how we were created. And the very first filter that was put in was, I'm a human. Instead of being, I'm a dog, or I'm a plant, or I'm a fig, I'm a human. And then the second frequency, if you like, is like, I'm a man, or I'm a woman, and so on and so on. So we actually render ourselves, we create ourselves here.
Great. Okay.
From actually what we're taking away, because we are everything all at once. And then how do we come into this container? And we all are in our own separate containers, is basically taking things away from being everything to more specific, to be in this container of this is who I am. And I created this physicality. And it's all been done through these filters, programs. And many of them, and most people out there in the mass consciousness, have created themselves through filters from their ancestors, and not even their own filters, programs, and this is who they are, and they just accept it. So when I say rendering, it is a new concept for people to get their head around, but actually we do participate, we co-create in how we are here in this physical 4D.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yes, I wanted just to clarify certain things so everybody in the audience can follow this conversation. And you talked about filters, and on your website, you write, I quote, "Most people have so many distortions that their spirit is often wondering, where are you?"
Can
you unpack this sentence?
If you don't mind, before we do that, if whoever's listening on the call right now, and it doesn't matter that it's recorded because frequencies are outside of time and space. But right now, if we can all just take like a breath in and come centered, because that will also help you understand this information that's coming, because it's not from the same mindset that we're usually in. These are really big concepts, right? So it's normal that it's hard to get around. But how I work is I bypass the mind, so it will come to you through your own inner knowledge. And it might come today or tomorrow or whatever. But all these concepts that a lot of people are not familiar with is that you don't have to try and figure out. It's going to come to you.
So you mean that they don't need to intellectualize it in this moment or try to understand it with the mind? Yes, need to be open to the frequencies or to the podcast, and just be open to what unravels for them.
Yes, and that goes to one of my favorite quotes from Einstein, is that it's impossible to solve a problem from the same consciousness that created it. So if you are trying to figure out something from the consciousness you're in, which is quite limited, which has a very specific rule set, all you're doing is being in a loop. And that's why a lot of talk therapy doesn't really work. I mean, for considering the amount of investment you do in money and time, the outcome is pretty negligible. So getting back to your question about timeless self, is that because we have so many filters, timeless self is just like confused. Is that a good recollection of what the question was?
Oh, yes. We were talking about distortions and filters. Yeah. I'm quoting something on your website. "Most people have so many distortions that their spirit is often wondering, where are you?"
Yeah. So when we think about awakening, we think we're awakening, right? We're not awakening. What this whole process is, actually, the whole process is a distortion once you really go past all of this. But anyways, the ascension process is a distortion as well. But we're not awakening, it's our spirit is awakening. Again, I'll give you a little story just to bring it so that the human mind can understand it. So our spirit, time of self, nature, universe, whatever you want to call it, it's just labels. And I'm a big believer, once you start labeling things, you limit it. So I'm not big on labels. But let's call it spirit just for now. I call it time of self. But our spirit is always here right now, because that's the only thing that exists. The past does not exist. The future does not exist. So spirit, being spirit, is always in the perfect moment in space and time. Now, we humans have demanded free will, and so we have the free will, and we're incredibly sophisticated. We can time travel, which we do all day long. So we can always go, oh, what am I going to do after this podcast? What am I going to do tonight for dinner? What am I going to do when I get really old, and am I going to end up alone? What am I going to do? We're always in the future moment, or, which has more to do with trauma or resentment, we're in the past moment, but we're never here. So spirit is like, well, where is this guy? He's not here. So I'm going to go to sleep. And then when you come back here, and that's the work I do, is I pull you back into present moment in your body to the extent that you can start doing it on your own, because everything I do is about you doing it on your own. When I pull you back into here, your spirit wakes up. Not you. It's your spirit that wakes up and go, oh, you're back. And it wakes up. And usually when people, you might have, from your own experience of observing others, or even your own direct experience, usually people, when they start on this journey, their whole life goes down. It's just like, because is spirit looking around going, wait a minute, why are you in this toxic dead-end relationship? Why are we in this job that's totally unfulfilling and it has that slave mentality? Why is it that I'm obese? Why is all these things? And spirit, that's not how, I mean, just think about it. Would your spirit ever have anything but perfection? So spirit wakes up and starts wiping all this stuff out. And that's usually when we as humans go like, oh my God, my life is a disaster. Everything's going wrong. But it's actually spirit getting us back on track. And so that we're in more alignment, because we, with all of our filters and distortions, we've moved away from that ideal space where spirit is. Not spirit. Never. So when we come back, then spirit gets some clarification. So going back to your question, spirit's going, where are you? You're not here. You're not present. And that's why the work I do is all about bringing you into alignment, connecting with other frequencies that are clearer to help you. You know, we all day long connect to frequencies that are not very clear. Social media, television, people. We're always connecting to these frequencies that actually are very murky and pull us down instead of connecting to more pure frequencies.
And Rob, did you personally always had the call to be close to your spirit?
Yeah. Yeah. Even in my, because that's a really good question. I've reflected on that just recently. Even in my darkest days, I've always had deep inside, it's all good. It's all good. My spirit's got my back. So there's never been, I'm not one of those who have ever really suffered from depression or despair in to a degree. I've always had that really deep brilliance inside that has my back.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way that you can feel or you can describe your spirit or your unlimited self?
Oh, how, if I can describe my spirit, my unlimited self? Well, no, because it's everything. That's beyond, you see, our minds, in the human mind, we can only go so far in this density. There's rule sets. And in this consciousness, the mass consciousness that everyone's in pretty well, is always governed by limitations. This mass consciousness is governed by lack, sacrifice, and control. So it's always stepping out, but we always have to be connected to the mass consciousness as long as we're alive in physical form. But what we can do as time goes on with guidance is you can actually separate yourself from the mass consciousness while still being part of it. And you can start to move into another consciousness that has another whole rule set. So that's where I can go now without medicine. And then I see that it's so clearer than anything here that even the question of me trying to describe my limitless self, you can't do it. It's infinite. It's beyond the senses that I have to try and make sense of it. I get great glimpses. I get to hang out there. And then my whole thing is being, again, a psychonaut, is to bring it back into this density. This is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in this physical form here, right now, present. So every time when I go to explore, my remit is always, great, love the experience. Had thousands and thousands of them now. I've gone and explored so much. There's really no great need to explore more and because there always is more. But my remit with my spirit is like, that's awesome, the experience and everything, but let me bring it into this density. Let me embody it so I can be my very best possible self here. And as a result of that, my environment will change, my outer environment that everyone's so consumed with trying to shift. We don't need to do that. That happens automatically once we shift within. And to be my very best possible self, not so much for the material stuff and all this density stuff, which is really, really super easy actually to manifest. It's so that I can help be part of that collective pushing the human envelope. So we get to move to the next version of human. And not a lot of people are doing that right now.
You talked before about your dark moments and you talked about addiction. What did that addiction teach you in your life?
It's still teaching me. Because the thing is, it also, you know, there's just so much flat out wrong that has been fed to us. And again, for a reason, it's a great way of controlling and dimming us down. So we have, generally people have the notion of there's the light and there's the dark, right? Humans have this program called judgment. Good, bad, right, wrong. It's not like that on the other side at all. There's zero judgment, which means nobody gets left behind. Nobody gets special treatment. It's all about how we use our free will and apply the knowledge that we receive within. So addiction, ooh, that's bad. That's darkness. That's shadow work, whatever you want to call it, right? It's got a negative connotation. These things that, and I haven't come up with a better term because I'm really not crazy about the word darkness or shadow work or any of that. Because again, it's just so, it's like I don't use the word God because again, it's been so tainted with that meaning. So let's just call it, you know, we have duality. So we have the left side. Let's call that, if you like, the shadow. And then we have the right side, the brilliance. So when I'm engaged in the left, you know, everything is in perfect harmony in the universe. And all those systems are there to help us be centered in perfect harmony. And if you go too far to the right, like our friend Icarus, boom, you burn. If you go too far to the left, you get pulled down and you start to decay until eventually you'll disconnect. All right. The right side, boom, you're gone immediately. The left side, you go through that whole decay process, and then you do it. So what I've learned, though, is that I've actually learned the left side are my superpowers. And once I stopped judging it and putting a label on it, that this is a negative, that this is something separate from me, this is something that wants to get me, all that sort of stuff, and said, hey, man, let's get acquainted. Let's see, how can I use this side so that I can be my best possible self? Because that is the intention. So going back to addiction, oh my goodness, addiction has taught me so much. And so much that, you know, I won't go into all the details of the density sort of lessons. What it's really shown me, it's my nemesis. You know, we all have those nemesis. It's my teacher to show me clearly when I go into different realities and how I go into different realities and how I get pulled into different realities, how I'm controlled, how I've given my submission. And this isn't this lifetime. This comes back from many lifetimes where it started. And so actually, I use the left side now to really help me define myself even clearer and with more precision. So ultimately, I have more empowerment. So there's a lot of great things addictions have shown me about. But the number one thing I would have to say is really been able to be my GPS so that I can navigate into that ideal reality where I'm very well defined, just like nature, and I'm very present, just like nature. And then to be able to control going into other realities, but not being pulled into other realities. There's a great difference.
Do you think that our genetic information has also some influence in developing addictions?
Well, it's just a program that we pulled in, that we brought in from probably most of the time, lifetime, sometimes in this lifetime. But it's not just a diction. It's the whole package of what makes us up. Well, where do they come from? And it is from our genes. It's our ancestors. Most of the stuff that we're struggling with, and a lot of people have shame about these things, they're not even ours.
Talk to us about that, and also how can space and time help clean all that?
Right. So how does space time, the work I do, what do I do to help people?
No, my question is more, how does space-time help clean all patterns that come in our genes from our ancestors or other lifetimes?
Going back to my earlier example about positioning ourselves in space and time, that's more the subquantum physics angle of it, is that, so as I mentioned, our time of self is here, boom, right here, present, doesn't move. It's always in the present moment. It's always positioned here perfectly in the fourth quadrant in space and time. We are the ones that move. And every time we move away, and you know, there are millions and millions of movements. So everything is so much more infinite than we can possibly imagine. But every time we move away, it's like putting a lens in between our time of self and ourselves. So the message, the communication, the connection is not as clear. And the more we move away, the more filters, lenses there are, the more that the communication is disrupted. And so we get to a point, and that's why some people, you know, you go so far away, you disconnect. Because everything about the universe is about efficiency. And hey, in this lifetime, you're so far away from your mark. It's much more efficient. Let's disconnect and then reset and come back if we are coming back, not necessarily. So by being and focusing on, instead of focusing on, oh, this is my problem. I got an addiction. I got to really address my addiction. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop drugging, whatever it is. Instead of that, which is a consequence, instead of addressing the consequences, which is what we do with everything, our life around us right now is the consequence of where we have been positioned in space and time in relation to our time of self. So it's already been created. We spend all our time trying to fix what has already been created, and that's clunky. It's not very efficient. So by coming more back into space and time and shifting where you render yourself, you have less filters. And by doing that, then as a result, all of these ancestral programs, the life around us that we're leading right now, that automatically starts shifting. That cleans up on its own. With a caveat, we demanded free will and we got it. So always, and again, I'm just sharing my experience. I'm not speaking for the universe. I'm speaking for Rob Baines on his journey and what I do and what works for me so I can be in that thing. So we always are the last ones to sign off. Even your spirit will override that. Sometimes if there's some divine intervention, but that's very rare. So what will happen is that, okay, right. I'm moving forward. I'm coming back into a closer position in space and time. The communication with my time of self is clear. I'm starting to get awareness. Hey, I always pick these people to be partners who are completely toxic. This is hypothetical. So what will happen is your time of self will go, oh, wait. You know, it is like that infinite eight in communication. I send something up and send it back. It's like, oh, wait, we're getting a new message. He doesn't want to be in toxic relationships anymore. What do you care? He's always been in toxic relationships. I mean, how many lifetimes has he been in toxics, abusive, because he has abuse programs, self-abuse programs. He has non-deserving programs. He has sacrifice programs. So we always package it up into toxic relationships. He doesn't want that anymore. Are you sure? Again, you know, I'm bringing it down for the human mind. So what will happen is that your spirit will send you to confirm, not to test you, just confirmation will send you. So all of a sudden you'll meet someone. It's like, wow, this person's amazing. Oh my God. Does remind me of my ex-partners always. It is a bit toxic. It is not very good. But, and that's the time for us to really sign off and go, nope, I'm serious. I don't want it. So you meet the person, you go, hey, it's been great, but I don't think it's going to work. Or what most people do, unfortunately, because they don't have that empowerment within and that clarity, they're like, oh no, this time it's going to be different. You know, and that's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So we always get to have the final say of signing off. And that's what is referred to as like confirming that you want to be free of these filters. And so that's how it kind of works, the mechanics.
Interesting. Would you like to comment on manifestation?
Sure. Well, manifestation is a big, sexy topic. There's so much out there, law of attraction, the secret, all that stuff. But funny enough, with all this stuff out there, very few people are able to manifest, right? Why is that? Well, because it's all going back to the Einstein quote. They're all practicing from the same consciousness that actually created this lack, that created the definition of abundance, that created the definition of lack. I've been shown technologies on how to manifest, and I'm a big manifester. I've always been a manifester. Every reading I've ever had from anybody in all different walks of life, they're always like, whoa, dude, you're a manifester. I've never seen so many cards come up with like as a manifester, or when I used to let people, I permitted them to channel, which I don't do anymore. We should talk about channeling. So to manifest is not about trying to have a vision board or anything. It's basically taking away the programs that are not permitting you to manifest. And through, you know, being on the journey, you start to get that inner knowledge, that awareness that, wow, I have self-sabotage programs. I have non-deserving programs. I have sacrifice programs. I'm an empath. I take on all the burdens of others, so I don't have any power or possibility to actually try and focus on my inner environment because I'm always tapping into other people's environments. So it's all these things through the journey that once you start clearing, then you just come into a singular and it's very easy to manifest. It's not even an issue. To the extent you don't even think about manifesting, it's a given. And you just kind of like, no, like, well, if something comes up that I need, and in alignment, it will just come. And if it doesn't come, it means it's not supposed to come. And there's something else to take me on. So you start to really have that dialogue with your higher self. And also you get the sanity. So what you thought you wanted to manifest, because now it comes really from sanity. It comes from a direct connection with your time of self. The ego starts to like, you know, take a back role. And you realize like, why the hell do I want to manifest a Lamborghini? Why do I want to manifest a 10-bedroom house? All this sort of stuff that we do for ego to separate us from everyone else so we're special and different, that all really gets sorted out as well. So then you start to just focus on manifesting what you need to make it here, you know, because stuff that everyone's so focused on, stuff is really cluttery for the spirit.
Okay, so how would you define abundance or 360 degrees of abundance?
Freedom, total freedom. Not being controlled by anything, by you having that connection with your timeless self, that's pure abundance.
So you mean not being controlled by any mindset or pattern that have not served you in the past or maybe even that have been passed down through generations.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the big things, I'm not controlled by the mass consciousness because I'm separated. I'm still part of it because I'm in this density, but I have a bird's eye view. I can observe the mass consciousness. I can see the programs. I can see the systems in place, and I just remove myself from it. And that's when you get to that point, you know, in the spiritual community, you know, once you start to really fine-tune yourself and you can pick up all the frequencies, the spiritual community on the whole is kind of sad. There's a lot of sacrifice. You know, there's a lot of, it's just not joyful. It's not free. It's not empowered, generally, I'm speaking. So once you start to see and you can separate yourself from the mass consciousness, you start to see all these programs and systems and you can detach yourself from it, disconnect. And then you start to have freedom and you start to create yourself by your rule set, not other ones. So the mass consciousness is one that controls us. There's people can control us, you know, especially if you're an empath. Well, we're all empaths, but especially if you're an inefficient empath and you get pulled into people's realities and you take on the burden of everyone's realities, which a lot of people do in this sector, thinking they're doing good. You're not. Because how an empath works, like how I used to do it, is I used to go into people, like actually literally into their head, take a look around, know exactly what their perspective is, and then be able to supply them the answer that they're looking for. But that's not very good. People would feel great around me because I would take away all their crap and then have to process it myself. And if it ended there, great. But then they would just regenerate their own programs all over again. So I wasn't helping anyone, and it was really taxing on myself. So once you can separate that and you become really solidly well-defined within, that's another control mechanism that you can disconnect from. But there's all sorts of control mechanisms all day long that we're exposing ourselves to. I call them, I don't like to use the word higher and lower because it doesn't work like that. There is no hierarchy in that way. There is a hierarchy for sure on frequencies, on the other side, if you like, the veil or whatever you want to call it. You just tune into another radio station. That's what it really is like. There is a hierarchy. There's a pecking order of frequency and what level you're at. And nothing below you can touch you unless you permit it. And equally, you can't touch anything above you clearer.
Mm-hmm. How do you see humanity at the moment?
Oh, fabulous. I love humanity. I see it all because, again, once you start separating, you stop that judgment game, which the judgment game is all about really a threat to your own environment, your safety. So it's like, look at what they're doing. Look at, it's like, well, it's attacking. Once you remove yourself from it and you have that bird's eye view, you get to see the beauty. You get to see the beauty, the higher being of every person you meet. You get to see this world around you that, oh my God, man, this is crazy insane what we've been able to do. I mean, let's look at from the first principle of what we've done, what Spirit has done. Spirit has been able to create a separate entity like me, like you. So create something separate from the whole, but is still part of the whole, yet has its complete own anonymity. Wow, that's a pretty cool gig that Spirit has done. So you start to get into seeing all the things that are not so visual to the mass consciousness, and you start to get to see the systems, you see the precision, you see, and this the real definition of unconditional love that is being created here for us, and it's not just about us. You get to go into different realms where you see all the different things that are going on. It's really cool. I see humanity. Amazing. We're on a journey. We've always been on a journey. We've always been doing this sort of stuff. But now, you know, we're on human version 8.0, which means seven times before. We've been just as sophisticated, technology-wise, in a different form, and then we've been wiped out. Why is that? The mink is a cow. You know, people say, oh, protect the world, protect the earth, protect. No, the earth does not need protecting. It's just fine on its own. It always has been. And as soon as we cause any threat whatsoever to it, a quick wiggle and bye-bye threat, and the earth will, as it has always done, like the universe, will carry on just fine without us. So we get to see, though, that actually there's a great system in place here, and we're now in a state because of the collective consciousness, and as we see on the social media and everywhere around us, movies, TV shows, conversations and coffee bars, especially with young people, those guru days are over. You know, there was a time when there was the guru guy doing the TED Talk, go on social media, everybody has the answer, they're shoving it down your throat. And those days are over. Young people, they have it built into them. They're having these conversations, these awakening conversations over coffee. They're not looking for some guru to say, this is how it is. So we're going through an incredible different expansion right now. And because the collective, there's enough people in the collective who are at those levels, I don't think we're going to have to disconnect this time. Again, everything the universe does is for efficiency. Is it efficient to wipe us out and spend a million years coming back? Not really. Isn't it better just to carry on? So that's the team I'm on. I'm on that team. I'm a pioneer to bringing in the new consciousness without us having all to disconnect and start again.
How can humanity, or how can we delete all these patterns of suffering, of control that you were naming before?
But why do we want to do that? Let's ask that question. Tell me, why do we want to delete all this?
Well, I think we would be more free.
Or is that our definition of suffering and everything is based on judgment? We're having an experience, spirit, timeless self. Why I say timeless self? Because it doesn't die. It's always there. We always come back. And when we disconnect, we get the bigger picture of it all, is that spirit is having a human experience. Spirit is having an experience in density to experience it. We put on the labels, suffering's bad, pain is bad. It's just like I was reading somewhere, there's a whole debate about, oh, plants. Plants have feelings. Don't eat plants. Plants suffer. Animals suffer. Fish suffer. All this, you know, we can go right down to it. And it's like, well, oh my God, I can't go anywhere because I'm going to make something suffer. But that's our interpretation, that the pain, the suffering that they go, they're judging it as something bad instead of just judging it, with no judgment, sorry, instead of just having it as an experience. The judgments that humans put on these things, defining it, the definition, this is bad, this is wrong, that's what it's about. It's not actually about what the experience is. If you cut your hand and you actually give yourself permission to experience it without putting judgments on it, you'll find that you won't have the suffering. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I get you.
It's another whole rule set that we get invited into, that we get to perceive this density in a completely different way than what has been the doctrines and what has been really shoved down our throats for control, for the few, right? So it's another whole way of, we get opened up to all different realms of understandings. So I say to your question, yes, I would like to refine myself and I can get rid of this stuff so that I can be my best possible self. But in no way, just like going back to the addiction, but in no way do I think this stuff is really bad for me. This is like, no, I'm just being more efficient. I'm going to switch rule sets so I can still have the same lessons and I can still refine myself, but maybe it doesn't have to be that way. It's like people who are on the spiritual journey, and there's a term called detox. Oh, I'm in a transition. I'm detoxing. Well, that's your rule set that is telling you that this detox has to be painful and suffering. I don't do that. When I detox, when I shift, detox is like when you're kind of like, you're moving away from the old self and you're walking into the new version of you in whatever increment it is, because it's infinite as well. And detox is in that transitional period, when you're like, oh, it's a death spate. I have to give up my old self. Ah, I don't want to give up my old self because it's familiar. I know it's crap. I know it doesn't serve me, but it's familiar. I like familiarity, right? That's kind of like why that old the housewife, she knows her husband's going to come home, drink some beer, smack her around, but she won't leave because the unknown is more threatening than the familiar. So it's the same with us, with our death space. Even though we know it doesn't serve us, we want out, we cling on to it so we don't really let go of it. And then we're moving into the new self and we're in that in-between place, and that's called detox. And most people have defined it for themselves as a real suffering. I'm off my head. Da, 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 da. When it's like, I don't do that anymore. I feel like, oh, awesome. I'm shifting again. I get to observe this inner metamorphosis that I'm going through. Bring it on. Bring it on. So. Mm.
Yes, interesting. I'd like to change gears and touch on to the topic of attraction. On your website, you mentioned that always in your life, you attracted a certain group of people like celebrities or royalty. What kind of frequencies do you think you were vibrating at that drew or is still drawing this kind of people towards you?
Yes, darling, but I've also attracted the homeless and the addicts and everything else. So I haven't just, I've attracted it all. And it's because I'm open and I'm curious. But actually, that has also been, which is quite interesting because there's been a refinement there. As I said, I've been an empath and I've gone into everything and I've opened my own self out, not through naivety, but through, actually, it's kind of like through purity that I can see right now, is that I've opened myself up to everything because from where my spirit is, it sees the beauty, the higher version of everything. So I've opened up, there's been no restrictions or constraints or rule sets of limitations of what I don't have access to in any, if you like, social economic group. So I've opened myself up to everything. And then it's in... times earlier, I realized, oh, actually, Rob, that's not really that great because you're opening yourself up to different realities, different neighborhoods that probably are not the best for you. And as time goes on, you know, you keep refining that the spectrums get smaller and smaller until you get into singularity, until that duality is very, very small. I've always attracted in that the people with those, whatever you call it, the celebrities and billionaires and all that stuff. And that's been awesome because it's also helped me to, really be able to see what this reality is about in density and the programs that the human are so caught up in to achieve, to define themselves by that. I'm like, yeah, I did all that and nobody really seemed that happy. But then also we don't go to the other spectrum and go, oh, that means poverty is the answer. No, that's also very distorted. So it's just I've had these great swings on each side, I think, just to bring me into that neutrality and to have the actual experience. So then I can navigate where I want to go.
Okay. I'm interested in the kind of events you organize. What makes them special? And do you have any events lined up?
I do. I'm going to do an event. I'm doing a cruise in Alaska next May, not this May, next May in 2025, from Vancouver to Alaska. I've always wanted to do it. And I'm based in Vancouver and it's supposed to be spectacular. And I just know that the nature, what we tune into there will really be amazing. I would like to do one in India. I'm thinking of doing that. I'm not, I've done events in Ibiza with Mass, but we're not doing that this year. And next year, Mass is doing a safari in South Africa that I'm going to go on. So there's a couple, two events that I'm going to do. And then maybe Mass and I will do an event in London again at the Science Museum, like we've done a couple years in a row.
Great. So you also collaborate with Masati and you also co-create or organize events also for him. I want to go back to the offerings you do personally. You usually offer 2 weeks meditation programs.
Yeah, that's my signature. And so what you're right. Like I've been with Masati. I know his name changed, but he's still Mass to me. So I've worked with Mass for a long time, and now it's been really good, especially for this crowd. Mass is just done. He interviewed me for a podcast all on psychedelics because Mass hasn't done psychedelics, but he can tap into it and actually can tune into it far purer and clearer than a shaman because he can do it through frequencies where when we do it with our mind and that even with a lot of shamans are distorted, I see. Is that it's always through the filters. So Mass is coming up with this program, and I think it's going to be in July, on psychedelics, how to do psychedelics safely and properly, because I see a lot of people who have been using this stuff, and they're getting messed up. It's that simple. And psychedelics, plant medicines, are not meant to mess you up. They're an incredible tool, but there is a skill set in how we do it. And so anyways, he's doing that. And he interviewed me because I've done a lot of Sega. So we're going to do some collaboration on that as well. Yeah. And then the 2 weeks, what I do, that's my signature product. I love it because it takes people for 2 weeks. Every day we do a meditation. It's live, 8:30 a.m. PST, but it's also, you can listen to the replays. And I take you through a movement where you start to, well, you start to connect to your timeless self, and then you start to get that knowledge from within about what programs, filters you brought in. They don't serve you. They might have served you at another time, you know, another lifetime, but they don't anymore. I always refer to humans as kind of like being frequency hoarders. We just like take it all and we never clear out, which is, you notice nature and animals, they clear out. If a wild animal gets a disease of such, you know, two or three generations, it's gone, it's done. It's not coming back. We humans don't do that. We just keep hoarding. So the 2 weeks gets you to start to consciously connect, be aware, because we're always connected to our timeless self. If we weren't, we wouldn't be here. But start to become aware of that conscious connection. And then each series goes, you know, you dig, you see the programs that are the most destructive for you, that don't help you, and we clear that out. And then we move into another version of ourselves. And then we take a break for 2 weeks. And then we start again for those who want to start again. So that's one. And then the other program that I'm working on right now, it'll be a much lengthier program. And it's for a limited amount of people. And it's really targeted to more high conscious, you know, people who have been on this journey a long time. And they really want to get into some really cool technologies that are offered if you're at that state. And by the way, being at that state has nothing to do with how much you meditate or how much you help the world or all these other things. These states, these spaces, these environments, you can't enter them if you got your stuff still. You got junk. They're pristine. And they're infinite, by the way, too. So, you know, it's not like, oh, I made it and that's it. No, it's infinite. So you got to clear out your stuff. You got to let go of things that don't serve you, because you just cannot. It's like the doormat. It's just like, no, you can't come into this club. You don't have the right stuff. You got to clear it. And then once you clear it, you get a promotion to the next consciousness, the next realm. And then you learn all about it, that environment. And then you clear out more stuff, and then you get another promotion to another one. So it's really just about ourselves clearing these programs as we become aware of them. And that's what this bigger program I'm doing, which is more for people who have been on this journey quite a while, because there's not a lot of that out there for people who've been on it. But how can we get into the really great stuff? Like, this is where what's on offer for everybody now. Let's drop healing. That's an old paradigm, man. We are not there anymore, where what's on offer, the possibilities, should I say, are there, that it can be all about expanding. We don't have to heal, fix, change something, because we're going to walk away from that version of us into a better version, a more efficient version, a version that's more in sync with our timeless self. So why spend any energy on something that's already been created and we're going to walk away from it? Let's focus on the expansion. And that's where we're moving now. It's really exciting. That's what this whole reset has been about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know you also work with people one-to-one. What can the listeners expect from a private session with you?
Yeah, I'm kind of off doing private. and again, just my observations, right? I'm not in this for any reason. I don't even know why I'm in this. It's just like a natural progress. And then people come into my life that give me encouragement and resources. And it's like, okay, we're going to do this now. And oh, we're going to do a website now. Oh, now we're going to do a program. Oh. So I'm really into it. So the one-offs, in my observations of people who give one-offs, including myself, that's why I'm so keen on the 2 weeks, by the way, is that, yeah, I can give you, if you like, a day pass. I can take you to another realm. I can point out the filter that needs removing or the filters. I can even align you. But like I said earlier, you've got to be the one to sign off on it. Thank God, could you imagine if I had that much power? It wouldn't be good for you, and it certainly wouldn't be good for me. So fortunately, you get to sign off. So when you do a one-off, I found that, you know, unless someone has been with me a long time and they get it, the whole how it works, the mechanics of what we do, then that's different. But for people who want to come on and do a one-off, I don't find it very efficient. I find that, yeah, I do it and I can invite them into the space and they get that aha moment. But from my observations, not just me giving sessions, but other people doing work, is that the person just reaches out for another session and they start getting dependent on session. Kind of like with ceremonies, right? If you don't integrate this work, if you don't take the time to reflect on what knowledge came in during the ceremony, how you can integrate it, how you can shift through that process, how you can look at this left side and disconnect from it. It's a whole journey, right? If you don't do that, well, that ceremony is like, oh, well, next Friday, I need another ceremony. Right? And it's not just with the mother, the grandmother, ayahuasca, it could be with Santa Maria or marijuana, rapé, whatever, always going back to that. Instead of taking the time to go, wow, what did I just learn there? Because every time I do a ceremony, I don't actually do plant medicines anymore. And not because I poo-poo it or I'm better or anything like that. It's just like the last 5 ayahuasca ceremonies I did, I was sober through the whole thing. Nothing. And then it was like, you're done with this. Not done on the journey. We never graduate. But I was done. So I don't really do that anymore. So it's really about the one-offs. Not that crazy. Yeah, if there's something really, really that you just can't clear, I can help you with that. But again, then you're going to have to do the work yourself. Where the 2 weeks, that whole movement, and also it's a fraction of the cost, that whole movement, you're accountable. And so you transform yourself. And that at the end of the day, we got to do it ourselves. Anybody who comes up there and promises you that they can shift you and change you in that, I run. I'm like, no, thank you. Just like channeling. That's the other thing. You really don't want to get into channeling and all that stuff. It's very dirty.
I like that you give us a little taste of your meditations. What if you do a meditation live here and now for the audience of Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yes. Would you like to focus it on abundance?
Okay, I can't, but you know, everybody just even by kind of tuning in, is that people's definitions of abundance are quite distorted.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do that, but let's see. Why don't we just do it? Because how I work, and I kind of made this deal. It's kind of interesting. You know, when we come here, we do have agreements. We make agreements. And one of the agreements that I made, which, you know, came to me, that one of the agreements I made is that, okay, but I want to be able to go back and remember while I'm on this journey, because the other journeys with this amnesia, I never managed to tie up the two. So that was one of my agreements, and that's why I can go there and I can be in there and I can remember it all and everything. And then I come back here and I can remember some of it as I come back. And that's the whole, my whole exercise is to bring it into here. So how I work is that I just get out of the way and I tune in, and then, you know, that's how I can read people and see your programs and all that sort of stuff. But so let's just see how it goes. Let's see what is supposed to come in for everybody. Because again, yeah, I can focus on, let's talk about abundance, but if you already have a very distorted definition of abundance, then that's what you're probably going to override that meditation with, because very in this 4D, you know. So does that make sense? So why don't we just start, and then I'll see what, we'll just see what comes in that will help people. Always, you know, whatever we do, if we always set the intention, not just intention, because that's kind of like a Hallmark expression these days, but if we really center ourselves first and we really get in that place, the right thing will happen. So what we might think we want to happen, it might come in from a completely different angle.
So let's start and let's see what's coming.
And how long would you like it? Because also that is something that I can kind of sign off on
Yeah, something short is just to wrap up the episode around 10 minutes, 15
beautiful.
Minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you're up to.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, great. So everybody, let's just come in. Let's just settle yourselves into where you are right now. Just noticing, maybe getting into that comfortable position, maybe getting into a different position than where you always come when you come to meditate, because we are walking into the new. So by our habits and our programs, we do it. And just before we start, I just want to let you know, like how the dynamics works that I see, again, I'm speaking for myself, is that I receive this knowledge from my higher self on something. And I need to respond to acknowledge that. And that's through action. It's not through the mental gymnastics, which most people do. So it's also when we receive something, it's then I respond by putting in the action, and then I get to the next step of something as well. So like for this, maybe change your position because you're going to walk into something new. So if you can, from a physical point of view, move things around instead of that same habit, like I'm sure maybe people on the call, you realize, oh, I always sit in the exact same place when I meditate. Well, why is that? So anything you can do in the physical plane to shift things up will just kind of help you on this journey. So with that, come into your body, noticing where you're sitting, standing, lying down. Close your eyes. And let's just come into the chest area. And then taking a deep breath in. Really take that deep breath into a count of four. And holding it for a count of four. And then exhaling through the mouth to a count of five. When I say take a breath in, you can do it at your own count. There's nothing magical about these numbers. The only thing is to be consistent and disciplined. The breath is an amazing tool for us to come back here centered. So, If we're not going to be disciplined with our breath, it's kind of hard to be disciplined out there. So let's just take another deep breath in. Again, coming to our chest area. Noticing the back of our head. This is where our reptilian brain is. We have many brains. And moving down the spine, those 24 vertebrae. The spine is our transmitter, receiver. Coming to our hip area. The hip is the densest part of our body. It's a great place to anchor into the earth as we come down through the legs, our feet. Just imagine the core of the earth, these pure frequencies that through gravity has filtered out all of the distortions. And that we have access to at any time to connect to. You just think about that, just connecting your mind's eye to these pure frequencies and then bring them up through your body to the crown of your head. And let's just hang out here right now. By you doing that, it helps me help you. And I work a lot with the frequencies of nature. From my observations and experience, they're the purest frequencies we can tune into here in this density. Taking another breath in. And asking our timeless self, how can I be more centered in my body right here, right now? What is it that I need to release? So I'm opening up this for you. And with all these meditations and different sessions, it's not a conclusion in themselves. You know, we want to have that immediate gratification, that weekend course that will completely change me. It doesn't work like that, thank God. We'd be pretty distorted if we removed all those reference points So again, coming here right now in your body. And asking for the awareness of what programs am I operating that don't serve me? And then I can start releasing, taking that breath in. And asking for a clear definition on abundance. A first principle definition on abundance. Because we say, oh, I want abundance. Well, you do have abundance. You have an abundance of lack. You have abundance of non-deserving. So it's shifting your definition on what abundance is. Coming into the entirety of your spine and bringing these frequencies from nature to align you. When we tune into nature, and all we have to do it is with our mind. It's how powerful we are as beings. As we tune into the nature frequencies, and what that does, as we take that breath in, that pulls us, brings us into a more aligned place in space and time. And as I generate these frequencies, helping you help yourself, it's always you're helping yourself, not me. My job is to be out of a job. We open up the various possibilities for us that are on offer, always. So we start to get clarity on what we mean by abundance, a definition, and how we've always had abundance, but we have just defined it. In a way that doesn't serve us. Taking that breath in. And just noting how you're feeling right now, that stillness that's come in. It's not a mindset. It's how frequencies can be felt when we're in a better position. In space and time, a closer proximity to our spirit. So let's start creating in this present moment, the next moment, instead of creating the next moment like most of us do from the future moment, which is through our filters, or creating the next moment through the past moment of our experiences. Taking that breath in. And as we become more aligned, we receive the knowledge within. And what do we mean by abundance? And what are we seeking? What are we reaching out to? in order to feel that completion within. And maybe gaining the awareness that reaching out will never bring us completion. But by going inwards and being here right now in your body, naturally, with that union of our timeless soul, we are complete. We are abundant spherically. And all these physical things that we think we need to complete us takes on a more precise definition. So as we take that breath in, and I'll leave you with a technology that I use in the past one to me, which is called spatial referencing, which is using the five senses as you notice the sounds around you, where they're coming from, and then where are you in your body. Any smells around you, where are they coming from? And then again, you in your body. The taste in your mouth, which is an internal spatial referencing that triggers what needs to be released for health within. What is touching your skin that's supporting you? Notice what that is and where you are. And then as you open your eyes and looking at an object, noting where the object is and then noting where you are, this is using our five senses that will bring you here right now in your body, present. If you practice it, everything's about practice. Like I said, there's no special treatment. Everybody has the same right. So we practice. You'll find that no matter what situation you're in, you'll be able to take back control and come back here. And this is really the safest place to be. And with that, I can leave you in this space. And in your own time, you can conclude it with your higher self. Just be aware of what comes in. And if you're not happy with what comes in and what's showing you, then we can be that powerful being and change it.
Wow, Rob, thank you so much for this gift, for the gift of this meditation at the end of the episode. And thank you also for coming to Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers, for your transparency and for the way you show up, for your joy, the excitement you share with the world. And anything else you want to share before we close the episode?
Oh, but thank you as well. I love listening to your podcast, and that voice that you're bringing to the world also is amazing. And guys, the final thing, it's all good. It's all good. Enjoy, embrace it. That's the intention. The intention is that we have an amazing life full of expansion, experience, and joy.